From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're just over an hour away from Governor J.B. Pritzker's annual State of the State speech and budget address. Owing to the pandemic, he's combining them this year, and with a winter storm dumping a significant amount of snow across central Illinois, he's delivering his speech not in front of a joint session of the Illinois House and Senate, but rather in the historic Old State Capitol building in downtown Springfield. This is the second year in a row he's had to forego the usual pomp and circumstance of a gubernatorial address. But one year has made a major difference. Last year at this time, the Illinois economy was coming off its worst year since the demobilization after World War II. Unemployment in 2020 had hit an all-time high of more than 17%, but all that was in the early days of the pandemic. Today, the state's economy is doing reasonably well. The U of I's Flash Index, which measures a combination of corporate earnings, consumer spending, and personal income, that shows strong growth. Employment, not doing quite as well. Help wanted signs remain a common sight, and the number of people working is not yet recovered to the level it was at before the pandemic. Nevertheless, Illinois' tax collections have been strong. So strong, in fact, that Governor Pritzker is looking to send some of that money back to people, in part by suspending the 1% grocery tax, stopping an inflation increase in the gas tax, and offering a property tax rebate of up to $300. We're going to dedicate the entire hour today to talking about the condition of Illinois and its finances and how that affects you, be it the cost of attending college, funding for police and public safety, and how much you pay in taxes on your income, your residence, and just about everything you buy. The Illinois state budget affects all of our lives. And we begin with the Speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives. Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch is a Democrat from Hillside. He's been in the role for a little more than a year now. Mr. Speaker, welcome back to the 21st show.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, if you want to join our conversation, the number to call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st show. So, Mr. Speaker, I want to begin with some of what the Pritzker administration has already said will be part of the governor's budget proposal. And let's start with the grocery tax. Would you support suspending the 1% tax on groceries?
Well, Brian, let me say this about the governor's budget address. You know, I think he's got a lot to be proud of. You know, we have a lot to be proud of. The work that he's done as the governor for the last 3 years, the work we did last year during my first year as speaker, there's a whole lot to be proud of. But one thing we were reminded of in December and January was that we're still very much in the midst of a global pandemic. There's still a lot more to do. People are still struggling. And there's some things that we have to do to address what's happening in our state right now. And so certainly from what I can tell, it looks like the governor is going to take a pretty comprehensive approach to what's going on in our state right now. And I think it's the beginning of our process, and I certainly want to entertain the idea. We know people are struggling to buy groceries, to pay for gas, and many of the things that are a direct result of COVID. And so I'm looking forward to what he has to say and beginning the budget process.
Okay, so that's entertaining the idea, not necessarily endorsing or opposing it yet at this point. And I guess I won't ask you then about the gas tax, because I imagine you'll say the same thing in terms of supporting, suspending. I think it would be a 2 cent per gallon increase indexed to inflation. But I do want to ask about that, because the idea of indexing the gas tax increase to inflation was supposed to preserve the purchasing power of gas tax revenue, right? And the road construction projects that money pays for. Is it a good idea to forego that already when that was just such a new thing put into the law just a few years ago?
Well, let me say this, Brian. You know, when that was put into law a few years ago, we weren't in the midst of a global pandemic. I think what we're hearing from the governor is a direct response to what's actually going on in real time in our state and in our country right now. And I think we also have to understand that we have put Illinois on a good, sound path of financial stability and surety. And we wouldn't be able to even entertain this idea if we had not put Illinois on a good path to financial stability. And so we're in a really good position because of the work of the governor and the General Assembly, that he's going to put forth some ideas that we really should think long and hard about here during the budget making process, because of what's going on in our state and our country right now, people are struggling to pay their groceries. They're struggling to pay for gas. They're struggling to put a roof over their heads. And so these are things that we're going to have to consider during this budget making process. And I'm happy to see the governor is thinking outside the box.
Mr. Speaker, last week I asked your Senate counterpart, Senate President Don Harmon, about both of those points. And to be fair, this was before the administration had publicly announced that it would be actually pursuing those ideas. But he went through them and then had this to say.
We don't want to do something that is flashy showbiz, but doesn't provide real relief to people.
I wonder what you think of that, right? 50 cents off a $50 grocery bill, you know, 2 cents a gallon in savings. Is that really going to help everyday people get by?
Well, I think what's really important is that we do something substantive and comprehensive. And I think whatever we do, it has to be a comprehensive approach that the cumulative effect, they will see a difference. That's why I think you see the governor taking the approach that he's taking. You're talking about saving money on your groceries, saving money on your gas, providing a property tax rebate, and doing some other things that will put money back in people's pockets. And I think when you look at the cumulative effect, what that will do for families, it will be very helpful. And it's a recognition of where we are in our state and our nation right now because of a global health pandemic. I don't think you can ignore that. And so let's remember that a budget address is the beginning of the budget making season. He's putting his ideas out there like he should. And we as a legislature now will have to properly vet them. And Leader Greg Harris and our budget negotiation team is ready to hit the ground ASAP. We want to recognize, though, what people are dealing with in the midst of this pandemic.
I do want to ask one more budget question, and it's a little more big picture, because a little more than a year ago, Democrats were making the argument to voters that Illinois needed more tax revenue from a graduated income tax, where higher income earners pay a higher tax rate, people who make less money would pay a lower tax rate. But voters rejected that, as you know, and now Governor Pritzker is calling for this $1 billion tax cut. There's extra money to be put into pensions if the General Assembly adopts his proposal. How do you reconcile that argument that Illinois needed more tax revenue from the graduated income tax? Now it's looking to cut taxes.
I think, first of all, you begin with the real recognition that this is truly the best financial outlook we've had since my time in the legislature. And I started in 2013. And again, I'm excited to hear his proposals. These are proposals that are cognizant of the global health pandemic that we're in the midst of. The reality is that when the governor initiated a lot of the things with regard to the fair tax in 2019, we were not in the midst of a global health pandemic. And we are at that point right now. We also have inflation that is a direct result of the global health pandemic and the supply demand issues. That's where we are today. You can't ignore where we are today. And I think what you're seeing from the governor is a recognition of where we are today and trying to address the immediate needs of Illinoisans.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with the Speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives, Emmanuel Chris Welch. 800-222-9455 is our number. I want to turn now to an issue that's been forefront in the General Assembly for several years now and will, I think, continue to be this year, and that's criminal justice. How do Democrats intend to deal with the increasing political pressure to, you know, this idea, do something about crime?
Well, first of all, I think that, you know, Democrats have already been doing something about crime. And that's the fact is we've been addressing it in a two-pronged manner. You really have to address public safety in a two-pronged manner. And it requires a comprehensive, robust plan with community input from all directions. And we've been doing that. And it's extremely important that we continue to properly fund and equip and train our police officers all across this state like we did in the budget last year. We're going to continue to do that in this year's budget. I think in the governor's budget address, you will see a very comprehensive approach to public safety. But I also think you cannot ignore a second problem, and that includes a long-term, comprehensive, well-funded plan to address the root causes of violence. And if you look at the budget last year, we've done that. We've addressed housing insecurity, food insecurity, and things of that nature. We're going to continue to do that in this year's budget. You have to take a comprehensive approach. There's no one size fits all to public safety. And this is a top concern for us all. I mean, we all want to live in safe communities, and we've been addressing that. And let's keep in mind that a lot of this problems that we're seeing today, studies from University of Illinois at Springfield, study from Northwestern University, show that a lot of this crime started rising during the Rauner administration and the Rauner budget impasse that went on for 736 days. We're just now recovering, starting to recover from what Bruce Rauner did to our state. And we have to continue that progress.
We just had a conversation about that Northwestern study on our program earlier this week. And yet, as you know, Republicans are pushing, you know, a third prong, which they would say is increasing penalties, right? Republican leader Jim Durkin in the House is pushing for this new crime of organized retail theft. Senate Republicans have been proposing I think it's called 10 in life, where first offense, 10 years, second offense, life in prison for certain firearm offenses. What do you think of those ideas?
Well, I'm not convinced, and I think the jury is still out too, that penalty enhancements work. And I've been around this game a long time. I'm not convinced penalty enhancements work. I think what is going to deter crime is swift justice. And again, really working to address the root causes of these issues. That we are working already, having conversations with law enforcement and the Illinois Retail Merchants Association that started several weeks ago, maybe even a couple of months ago. The IRMA does not agree with Leader Durkin's approach. They're working with us on an approach that will work, and we're going to get something done. I think it's important that we don't politicize this issue. What we do is work together to do something that's going to get it right. And again, I'm not convinced that penalty enhancements work.
Just a few minutes left in our conversation today. I want to ask you a couple of big picture questions about democracy writ large. This idea out there that there's declining social trust and trust in institutions. I know that's something you talked about when you became speaker last year. This has been a problem not only in Illinois, but in America for a while. The pandemic seems to have accelerated that. What is the best policy response you've seen for trying to counter that trend?
Well, the best policy response is not a policy response. It's literally a behavioral response. And we as leaders have to change our approach. And what I see coming out of our Republican Party in the state is really disappointing to me. We have to lower the divisive rhetoric. We have to come together and work together. People want to see civility back in politics. And you will always see me engaging in a civil manner. I think in my term as speaker, you have seen me try to keep a calm and cool demeanor and stay the adult in the room, because I think that's what our politics dictate today. We have to work together. We have to reach across aisles. And what I'm seeing coming out of our Republican Party is really disappointing, because we really need to work together to address the many issues of our state.
And yet there seems to be bipartisan agreement with this idea that American democracy may be in danger of collapse. And I think your pet may be wanting to weigh in there. But there was a Quinnipiac poll that found that something like 56% of Democrats, 57% of independents, 62% of Republicans think American democracy is in danger of collapse. Do you share that fear?
Well, you know, I don't think democracy is going to collapse. I'm not afraid that it's going to collapse, because I do believe that it's durable. It's proven to be durable over 200 plus years. What I'm afraid of is that this state that we're in could last longer than it needs to, because of the divisive nature of our politics today. We can end this sooner than later by lowering the rhetoric, changing the way we act toward one another. And it starts with us as leaders. And I think that's very important. I love living in a democracy. That's my approach to government. Collaborative partnerships is what it's all about. And when we work together, we're all better for it.
Last question. The State of the State is address is a time where, you know, you can sort of try to pithily sum up the state of the condition of Illinois. What would you say in just a few sentences? We have about 30 seconds left. How would you describe the condition, the state of Illinois right now?
Well, I think because of Governor Pritzker's leadership and Democrats in charge of the House and the Senate, Illinois is in a better shape than it's ever been, and in quite a long time. Specifically, financially, we're moving in the right direction. We're doing a lot of things right. And the state of our state is strong. And I think we need to continue forward, not look back to the rounder years, and continue to press forward.
Speaker Welch, thank you for being with us today on the 21st.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and my dog.
Chris Welch is the Speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives. Coming up after the break, I'm going to put that same question, how would you describe the state of Illinois, the condition of Illinois, to the Senate Republican leader, Dan McConkie. That's after a short break here on the 21st. Stay with us.